Take your Bible, if you would, and turn back to the Gospel of Mark. And I want to read one verse for you, and then we'll consider the entirety of this passage in this message, entitled, Then Came the Power. Then came the power. Verse 29. And Jesus said to his disciples, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In August, the 28th day, I began to meditate on this passage of Scripture. And I began to think through this passage of Scripture and pray about it and ask the Lord what He was trying to say to me. And I had some basic questions, certainly about myself, along with what I had seen God do and what I was hoping that God would do, not only in my life, but also in the life of our church. And I began to think through this passage and ask the Lord some very important questions. Lord, just like the disciples asked in verse 28, why couldn't we cast them out? Why is it at this point we haven't seen your power in a way that we've seen it prior? What's different about now? What's different about me at this moment? What's different about us at this time? What's going on? We've prayed for people to be healed. We've asked God to do a marvelous work in the lives of people, and we have seen that. But what is it about God's work and God's power being demonstrated in this moment? Why is it sometimes things don't happen as we would like for them to happen? Don't you think those disciples wanted that demon casted out? They did. They wanted that to occur. And so I began to meditate on these verses and think through what they meant not only for us, but what they mean for me. And just until this past week, I didn't really have a release from the Lord to speak about these verses. Because the Lord kept telling me, well, it's fine, you have some insight. I'm going to show you some things from my word, what you need to understand, but you've got to put them in practice. You've got to begin to practice this actively in your own life. And you've got to make sure that this is going on in your own life before you begin to speak about it. Now, that should be the case for every sermon, but it seemed like on this one anyways, he was really driving home the point. Don't talk about it with anyone until I tell you you can. And today's that day. Now, in some manuscripts, very few of the Greek manuscripts, in fact, just a handful of Greek manuscripts that we use to translate the New Testament, a handful of them omit the word fasting. But in the majority of the manuscripts that we have in translation, and thus as a basis of this translation, the King James, the majority of them include this reference to fasting. So what is the association of prayer and fasting? The disciples wanted to know what happened. Why couldn't we see this demon cast out of this boy? Now, let's step back into the story, and we'll come back to that question in just a moment, because Jesus has already revealed himself to his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. He has given them a glimpse of his power, and he's demonstrated for them on that mountain where Moses and Elijah begin to speak with Jesus, and Peter, James, and John come down from the mountain. You talk about exhilarating. They saw God's power unveiled, and they saw Jesus in all of his glory. So here they come off this mountaintop experience. And they come down among the disciples, the other disciples who are ministering. And they have found that in this situation that they are unable to cast out this demon, this foul spirit from this little boy. The father is in dismay. He knows that if Jesus can do anything, in fact, that's what he says in verse 22. If you can do anything. Anything. They couldn't do anything. But if you can do just anything. Anything, because as a family, not just for my boy's sake, but for my sake too, for our family's sake, we have been dealing with this since he was a little child. You could see the family in stress and distress. That dad just wants something to happen. Lord, if you can just do anything, we'll take anything. Anything's better than what we've been seeing. Because when this spirit controls our son, it throws him into the water. It throws him into the fire. And he just lacks any control. He is not himself. He's not the child that we thought we were going to have. Lord, if you can do anything. And then Jesus responds to them in verse 23 when he says unto them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And so Jesus takes the focus off of his ability to do something, because there is no question that Jesus has the ability. It's not because of a lack of power. And so he takes the attention off of himself and his power, because there is no question about his ability and power. And he places it on the shoulders of this man. If you can believe, the thing that you can do is believe, then all things are possible to him that believe. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It sounds like a contradiction. Lord, I believe in your ability. I confess that I think you can do something about it. But there's a difference between objectively acknowledging what faith is. To say, I believe in the ability of God. But what the Lord was asking him that day was not just to believe in his ability to cast out that demon. He was asking the man to believe that God was willing to do it. That's what he was asking. Do you believe that I am willing to do this? Would you come to believe that I am willing to cast out that foul spirit from your son? Will you believe that? I said, Lord, I believe. But I struggle with it. Help my unbelief. Now, Jesus is using this story to communicate something very important to his disciples about the power of God. Because, obviously, we see the human story. We see a family that's in disarray. A family that just wants anything. Lord, I've taken them everywhere. I've done everything I can. I heard your disciples were doing some wonderful things, and they couldn't do anything this time. But Lord, if you can do anything. And this is a man in turmoil, a man who's struggling. I think we can relate to his faith in many ways, because we have an acknowledgement. We acknowledge, Lord, we know you're able, but we struggle with, Lord, we believe you're willing. And what faith does for us, and what faith can do for us, is that it opens up the possibility of what God wants to do by belief. If we'll simply believe, it will open up the door. It doesn't mean that there's necessarily going to be a healing, but it does open up the possibility. Belief opens up the possibility. There's no question about God's ability, but it does open up the possibility that God would choose in that circumstance at that time to do something that none of us could do. And none of us could do. But these disciples are puzzled. And there are several things I want to draw our attention to this morning, because while we see a faithless generation that Jesus cries out to them in verse 19, he says, oh, faithless generation, how long will I tarry with you? I'm trying to be patient with you. I'm trying to work with you. When will you ever just catch on? And you know, the thing that hit me in August was, I've been pastoring for a long time, and praise God for all the wonderful things. I thank God for all the things that he has done. But what occurred to me is that God wants to do something on a much greater level. And he's not going to give us a clearance to see it happen until we begin to demonstrate a greater level of faithfulness and belief in him. And that meant something to me anyways. That whatever God wants to do in me, through me, in us, and through us, that God's not going to do it unless we get a new clearance. Maybe a level 3. You know, let's elevate this thing from a level 1 to a level 3. Some of you say, well, I don't even have a level 1 yet. I don't even really, not sure about who Jesus is. But today you can come to level 1 to simply say, I believe Jesus, you're the Son of God. I acknowledge you as my Savior. And you can come to level 1 faith. It is basic faith, but that's all you need to save you. But let me tell you, once you get saved, the Lord is interested in developing the levels of your faith. And He wants to do something in our lives. And He wants us to grow and become the children of God that He desires us to be. And to exercise faith and really believe our Father, who is in heaven, is willing to do such marvelous things for His children. Really believe that. And when we begin to believe that, we'll see the power of God on a whole different level. I encourage you that as you're asking the Lord to do something in your life, that you would stop worrying about it and start talking to Him about it. And say, Lord, increase my faith. I believe, but Lord, just help me, because there's a little bit of uncertainty as well. Now, there are two aspects to faith that I want to mention. And one is that faith is both objective as well as subjective. It is objective because our faith is not just faith in faith. That doesn't do anything for anyone, other than maybe make you feel good for a little while. It's just wishful thinking. But no, it's faith in the Lord. What legitimizes our faith and the objective aspect of it is the Lord. Our faith is in Him. That's what makes our faith authentic and real. But then there's the subjective aspect of that faith. We believe in His ability, but do we believe in His willingness? Do we really believe as His children that God would do something like that for us? Do you believe that God would be willing to, if you've come to know Jesus, you think He would take care of you? And so there comes a place when we all have to make that choice. Lord, I believe You're in control. I believe in You, and I believe You're willing to act on my behalf. And Lord, I believe You're willing to intervene on a level that I can't, and it seems like nobody else can. Lord, God, if You can do anything. And then He turns it and He says, if you can believe. In other words, I can do anything if you will believe. It's no question about my ability. The question is, will you believe? Now, I know some people have taken this to town and they have said, you know, that's the whole problem. The reason why there wasn't a miracle, the reason why there wasn't a healing, the reason why that didn't take place is because, you see, you just didn't have enough faith. And some believers are marginalized and made to feel as though they didn't have enough faith, when in reality, it wasn't so much about their faith as much as it was about God's divine prerogative to simply do something different than what we asked Him to do. God is God, right? He's God. He's our Heavenly Father. He knows what's best. And so there are times, even when we believe in God's ability, and we also believe in His willingness to do that, that He chooses to do something a little bit different than what we had in mind. And at that point, we have enough faith to believe that God is in control, and we have enough trust in Him to say, Lord, we don't understand it all, but we're willing to trust You, even in something that didn't work out like we had asked for. But I think the problem today for us, for me, for us, is that we have given ourselves a pass. And we've really stopped believing in God's willingness to do something. And thus, we don't really believe God for a miracle. We don't really believe God could do something like this on a magnitude that few ever see. Then came the power when they were willing to sit down with Jesus and have a little talk. And that's what I see in verses 28 and 29. I brought us to this place, and there's a great deal to this story. But in verse 29, when He was coming to the house, His disciples asked Him privately, why could we not cast Him out? Now, the first thing I want to say is that it took a private conversation with Jesus to discover the reason for their powerlessness. I think it would do us all a great deal of good, and certainly this is what the Lord has spoken to me, that it would do us all a great deal of good to wonder and even sit down with the Lord and ask Him why. Why, Lord? Why? Why am I not seeing this happen in a way that I believe can happen? What is it? Is there something about me? Is there something about us? Because God wants to pour out His power. He wants to pour out His Spirit. And He wants us to have not a form of religion that denies the power thereof. This is the thing that shakes me as well. How could I come to church and week in and week out live my Christian life? I'm not a new Christian anymore. I've been doing this thing for a long time now. I mean, you know, it wasn't yesterday when I was saved. It wasn't yesterday that some of us were, most of us were saved. So why haven't we seen the power of God on a whole different level? And I think it's because we haven't spent enough time with the Lord. We haven't had enough private, me and Jesus conversations. We haven't been serious enough to see the power of God. And so consequently, we haven't gotten aside and said, Lord, you know, something's wrong. I know it may look right religiously, and I know it looks okay on the surface, and the facade seems to be okay. I mean, because everybody else is basically in the same condition. They don't seem to discern, or they can't see the fact that the truth is that we're not seeing God's power in the way that He intended for that power to be displayed. And so we all come together and we just seem to be okay with our lack of faith. And the church needs revival. We need revival. I need it. You need it. And we need to ask God to do something and have just a little talk with Jesus. I mean, get together with Him and begin to ask Him, Lord, God, what is it? What is it in my life? Is there something in my life? When was the last time my soul, some of us have become so, I mean, you know, the last time we made a confession of sin in our life to the Lord. When was the last time you said, oh, God, I am not the believer that you called me to be. Oh, God, forgive me. I have wronged somebody. Lord, I've committed offense. I've done this or that. Lord, God, what is it? What is there anything blocking up my spiritual arteries? We need that. You know, most of us are getting more serious about prayer now that the election has taken place, right? Let's just pray that it lasts. We all need to be reminded. I think the only way that we're going to know, the only way we're going to know is to have a little private conversation with the Lord. Because the issue that day was not so much an issue about exorcism. It wasn't an issue about casting out a demon. It was an issue about their faith. That's what the issue was. It's about their faith. And the Lord wanted them to know that. He wanted them to understand that. Secondly, why is a great question to ask when there's no evidence of God's power? I just praise God for what happened in Mid-County Kindness. I do. I thank God. I thank God because other you know, for all the people that were helped, and praise be to the Lord for all that happened and everything that you've done. I saw something in our church. And I saw something in leadership, and I saw something in our lives. There was a rekindling. We saw God do something marvelous. But it doesn't have to be isolated. It doesn't have to be occasional. Not that we're going to say, well, Lord, we saw what you did yesterday, and today we're expecting something. What are you going to do today, Lord? And hold Him, you know, like we're holding God's feet to the fire. Yeah. But expectancy is a good thing. Lord, the heavens declare the glory of God. Your glory is manifest throughout all the world. We just want to see a little bit of it right here. You've come down off the mountain. Peter, James, and John has encountered the presence of the Lord in a marvelous way. He's unveiled Himself in such a way for them to see just a glimpse. And boy, were they amazed at what they saw. There is a good sense of expectancy when we enter into private times with the Lord. But why? Why isn't there a greater demonstration of God's power in our lives, men? When was the last time, gentlemen, that you spent some time with the Lord outside of church? When was the last time you sat down with the Lord and you turn off the radio and the TV and the ball games and everything else that you're busy about, and you even put aside all of your busy schedule, because I know, you know, we men, we got to be doing some kind of project, and just got alone with the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to live just a little humdrum life. I don't want my life to end having just seen an occasional demonstration of who you are. Lord God, I want to see your power. Why am I not seeing that? Lord, what is it? Don't start blaming the preacher now. Don't start blaming your church. Don't start blaming someone else. This is a little talk with Jesus between you and Him. He'll deal with me. He's been doing that. And if you pray for me, he might deal with me even at a greater level. So if you really got some issues with me, you better just start praying for me. And if there's a problem at the church, then you ought to start praying for the church. But you might want to consider talking with Jesus and saying, Lord, why haven't I seen your power? Lord, what have you done? Why haven't you been working in my life? I know you saved me. I know I'm your child. I know that, Lord. But I want to see you do something great because you're my God. Why is a good question to ask when there's no evidence of God's power? They said, why? Why couldn't we cast them out? And then something else that I see in this passage based upon Mark's understanding of the life of Christ is that prior success and approaches are no guarantee for future success. You see, earlier on in chapter 6 and chapter 3, they had been commissioned. They had been anointed. They were told that they were going to go out and they were going to cast out demons in his name. And they were going to be men preaching the gospel and laying hands on people. And they were going to be delivered. And these things were going to happen. This was going to be the course of their life. And they had seen it. They had seen success. It wasn't as though they were, failures. But they were failing at this point. And there's a difference. They were not failures, but they were failing at this point. So what's going on? Because everything we've done before, we tried the same thing. We did everything like we had been doing it. And this man's son keeps throwing himself into the fire, into water. He's trying to kill himself. This man's son, this family's in desperate condition. Lord, it just keeps going on. And so what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with the ability of the Lord. But they were trusting in their prior success and their approaches. And that's one of the things that we as a church need to be very careful of. And as believers, that yesterday, as great as it was, as wonderful as it was, last year, as great as our spiritual pilgrimage was with the Lord, you know something? Yesterday's success does not guarantee today's success and demonstration of God's power. Oh, we can look back. And how many of us can do that now, can't we? We can look back and say, this is what the Lord has done. But can we say, this is what the Lord is doing? And that's where they were at. Lord, this is what you've done. So why? Why isn't it happening all over right now? Prior success and approaches are no guarantee of future success. Yesterday's power may not be enough for today. We're going to face things as believers. And as a church, we're going to face things today that God has been preparing us for this day. But it's going to require a different level of faith to engage it. And that level of faith is necessary if we're going to overcome and see the power of God and we're going to see God glorified in the circumstance. Because you see, at that moment, when that man realized that his son had not been healed by these disciples who obviously had been healing others, he took his attention off of those men, wanted to know, well, where's the disconnect? Something's wrong here. And he was right. Something was wrong. That man was counting on those disciples. He was believing on those disciples. You know, there are people today that are counting on us. They're counting on us. Our faith, and don't you think for a moment your faith doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. It makes a difference in your own individual Christian life. It makes a difference in your home. It should, at least. And it makes a difference in your workplace. It should make a difference in your relationships with other people. There are people who are counting on our faith. And it has to be updated. It just has to be updated. We need a demonstration of God's power today, at this moment, in the lives of people today, in and through our lives. And yesterday's power, as great as it was, requires a new faith, a new level of faith for today. And then there's something else in verse 29. Jesus says, this kind can. In the positive, it can come forth. It can. But only, as the King James can state it, by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He's saying it can. It didn't with you. It did with me. Now, when Jesus called out that spirit, and he cast out that spirit from this boy. The boy lie dead on the ground, and they thought he was dead, because for all this time he had been demon possessed. But then Jesus did something in terms that we as believers understand. He reached out and he helped that boy to his feet. He used resurrection terms, and he lifted him up, and he rose up. In other words, the power of God raised that boy up from a dead state. That's what happens when the power of God is released. And in resurrection terms, Jesus raised him up. And so it was possible. They just didn't see it. Jesus had to do it, but they could have seen it, and they could have been a part of it. They just were not at that moment. Not at that moment. Deliverance is not possible by any other means, he's saying. By nothing but by prayer and fasting. So this is the next thing I think the Lord just began to impress upon my heart. That the reason why we haven't seen God's power released on the next level is because we have not elevated our prayer life. And particularly prayer life as it relates to deliberate, focused prayer for the needs of others. They say, well, what do you mean? You apply it to your life and just ask yourself, you know, how much time you're spending in prayer. And then look at how much time you're spending in prayer in deliberate communication with the Lord. And you can look back and you can say, you know something? I've seen God answer prayer. I think we could, probably most of us could say that. I've seen God answer prayer on this level. But God wants to do something even greater than that. And you wonder, well, why didn't that happen? Why isn't that going on? And the Lord is making it very clear. Some things can only happen by prayer and fasting. And some things in this church will only happen by prayer and fasting. I mentioned to you last week, and I've said periodically over time, that while our Monday morning prayer team is so focused, they're a handful of people. They get tons of prayer requests every week, and they gladly pray for those requests. And, you know, it's a marvelous thing that two or three or however many would gather, or a dozen might gather on an occasion. But when a church this size with hundreds of people, you say, oh, I can't be there on Monday. I know. That's why we have Wednesday night prayer meeting after work. And so I can't be there at that time either, because I'm teaching or speaking or I'm ministering. I'm doing, oh, praise the Lord, you're doing something. Serving the Lord. Nobody would dare throw a stone at that, would we? Oh, but I can't be there because I'd rather not talk about it. We can see the power of God in this community demonstrated if we'll pray. Tonight, we're going to have a prayer banquet. It's really our Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to have a speaker here, Kenneth Winchester. We've asked him to come because he loves the Lord. West Texas pastor. Pastors a little bitty church. But if you missed them several years ago, we had a great time in the Lord. The emphasis is upon Thanksgiving, but it's also related to prayer. Every year we have a prayer banquet, and many of you come to that. We hear what God's doing in people's lives, and we hear testimonies because God is still actively at work in the lives of his children. But what could we see in this next year if we would collectively begin to pray as a church? I mean, really, earnestly, deliberately begin to ask God to pour out his power and to do something right here in our midst that we haven't seen before. Oh, Southeast Texas desperately needs to see a church that's legitimate, a church that's authentic, a church that really wants to see the power of God demonstrated right here in our midst, okay? Listen, people who don't know the Lord, believe me, they'll flock to the Lord if they'll just see God's people experiencing the power of God. They'll see that. They'll be drawn to it. You know why? Because they're hurting. They're like this man who has a child who's demon-possessed and his family's in disarray. And they don't know what to do. They're at wit's end. We've got families like that all over this community. You know, all over with all of the things that they have and all their little toys and all the things that they do. And they run and do all week long. The fact is the family is in distress across our country. If this church were to begin to pray in a different level. Take the next step and be deliberate about it. Be so serious that when someone is sick, that we actually do call for the elders of the church in James chapter 5. And there is confession of sin. And we say we're going to make confession and we're going to lay hands on them and say, oh God, would you please heal this person? We're going to pray and we're going to fast. We're going to deliberately focus our attention. And that's what fasting is. It's not just simply saying I'm not going to eat breakfast or I'm not going to eat lunch or I'm going to abstain from this meal or that meal or this food or that food. It's more than that. It's taking the time and the energy and the emotion that went into preparing that meal and eating that meal and giving your attention to prayer and saying, oh God, I want you to heal this person. I want you, Lord, because my grandson is so far away from you, Lord God. I'm asking you to get his attention, Lord God. Save my grandson. My son, my daughter, who's a member of this church. They haven't been here in years. Lord God, will you get their attention? Will you save them? Will you bring them back in repentance, Lord, before it's too late in their life? When have we cried out like that? When have we cried and asked God just simply say, Lord God, I want you to do something in the life of my friend and my neighbor. I want you, Lord, to do something in the life of this person whose family is in disarray. My children are going all kinds of different directions. Lord, I pray that your power will fall upon my child's life. When we begin to pray like that, we'll see the power of God. Then the power of God will come. That's what Jesus said. That's why we haven't seen it. He said, well, you just finding that out? I feel so ashamed. You think, well, you ought to know that. I did. But not in the same way I've known it here recently. We all ought to know it. Or most of us. Some of you, you've just begun to walk with Jesus and your Christian life is a new experience for you. And my soul, I hope you don't feel the weight of this. I hope you feel the joy of it, the realization that, boy, when you accepted Christ, it was good. But I want you to know it's going to get gooder. It's going to get better. That the potential for your Christian life, while your soul has been saved and while you have a wonderful insurance in Christ Jesus and while He is yours and you're His, that He has something even greater planned for your life, exceedingly, abundantly. Ephesians 3:20, write that down. You look at it for a little while and realize God has something bigger than what you can imagine for your life, anything you've ever been able to wrap your mind around, whatever you had in mind when you became a Christian, it's better than that. It's better than that. Not to say it's not going to be difficult. Believe me, good Christian people who experience the better also understand the difficulty of going through the fire. And that's one way that we experience the better. And we see God's glory and we see God's grace is that He takes us not only out of things, but He takes us through things. Okay? This family had to go through it. And then their son was delivered. Maybe there's a message for some of you today. They had to go through it and before there was deliverance out of it. Praise God for the times that we don't even have to go through it. That's grace. And I bet when we get to heaven someday, the Lord's going to say to us, you know, He's going to inform us about all those things that He spared us from. And we're going to realize it. And we are going to praise the Lord. We know the things He's brought us through if we've been discerning enough to see His hand. But to know someday the things that He just absolutely, you know, we didn't have to go through at all, that's grace as well. But that man with his son that was demon-possessed needed to know at that moment that God was not through, that God was able, and that He was willing. That He was willing. Prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to begin to do something in your life. To begin to fast. Some say, well, that's just Old Testament. That's just legalistic behavior. Well, you just do all the theoretical and all the theological gymnastics you want. And that's fine. And about a year from now, when other people are experiencing the power of God and you're still wondering what's going on, then you will have missed this insight in your life. Some things are only going to happen by prayer and fasting. You begin to set aside some time in your week and you set it aside for that one purpose, to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to ask you to do this. I know you're able. But if you can do anything, Lord, if you can do anything, you'll say. And then when you're praying, He'll say, well, if you will believe, and you begin to believe and ask God to do in deliberate, in a deliberate way, Lord God, save my son, my daughter, deliver them, heal them, set them free. You'll see some things happen. People will be saved. People will be set free. And you know what will happen? This church will never be the same. Because you know what happens with people who've been set free? They realize, don't you think that boy got up off the ground and his father started telling him and his parents started telling him, son, we've watched you do this. We've seen you try to throw yourself in this demon that was trying to oppress you and throw you into the fire and drown you. So we've seen that, but you're brand new. Don't you think that boy, even if he didn't realize it all, even if he didn't have the conscious state to be aware of what was going on, heard his parents, he got excited and said, you mean I used to act like that? I used to do that. Thank God, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so excited. People like that will show up to church and they won't be sitting back there with nothing to say. Those will be the people you'll be wondering about them. Whoa, there's something wrong with those folks. Look at them. Look, you see that in church today, honey? Yeah. Yeah, you see that young man? Look, he got all excited in church, and raising his hands, and he was, I think he's drawing attention to himself, don't you? Well, I don't know. We just don't do that. Well, maybe you won't, but maybe if you were delivered, maybe if you realize the depth of your sin that God has delivered you from, maybe if you recognize that, we all did together, we realized maybe we might go back to being Baptist. For some of you have been one for a long time. Some of us haven't, but for some of you have been one for a long time. You can look back and you look at the history of our faith. The history of our faith is revival, is believing that God can do something and getting excited about it when He does. That God would set somebody free might set you free. We just need to see God's power released at the next level. And then the last thing I want to say is this. He talks about this kind. In other words, Jesus is saying that there are obstacles and there are issues to pray about that require different levels of faith, it appears to be. That's what He's saying. This kind. Don't you try to approach it with your old methodologies. Don't you try to approach it with mere apologetics. Don't you try to, don't use an advertising campaign. Listen, you can use all the therapy you want, but it's not going to work. Now, I'm not against therapy. And I'm not against counseling. But I'm going to tell you this. In this day, there are so many therapeutic models and so many counseling techniques, and so many self-help books at our Christian bookstores. Buy one, read it. If it encourages you, praise God. But when it's not working, just go to a good old-fashioned sit-down talk time with Jesus. He said, well, you're just simplifying it. I'm just saying what Jesus said, prayer and fasting. I'm just saying, He used two words, prayer and fasting. That's what He said. And when we begin to believe for others, God will do a marvelous work in their lives. That's when the power comes, when we believe enough to pray. And we pray enough to see God's power released at a whole new level. And we are so distraught over our circumstance that we're going to say, Lord, I don't know what's going wrong. But it's not, I know this Christianity thing. Do you feel the same thing that I, this is what I've sensed. I've been a pastor. I've been a Christian longer than I've been a pastor. I'm sure you're glad to know that. But I just want to see God's power in a way that we haven't seen it here. And I believe he wants to do that right here. Revival, it'll happen when we who believe will have revival in our hearts. And we'll see God move. It's a disheartening thing to come week to week, month to month, knowing that the heart of God is to save lost people. Save people who need Jesus. To save those who are under under condemnation and not see people saved. What's the problem? It's not a problem with the power of God. It's a problem because I don't know that we want to see that as much as our profession of faith says. Let's begin to believe it. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to talk to our neighbors. Let's begin to talk to our family. Our family. If just our children and our grandchildren, if just our families will come to know Jesus. Do you know it will change this church? Change this church? Where's your child? I thank God for Floyd Pate. Yesterday was his funeral service. Floyd Pate was elected to be a deacon in our church several years ago under not through a popularity contest, but his name was, he was nominated. And he was interviewed. He's a quiet man. Probably you would have taken note of him as he would come in with his walker. He had Parkinson's, and in the last days that he was able to actually attend church, he struggled to be here, but he got here. He got here. But Miss Jessie, when you shared that testimony at his funeral yesterday, it blessed my heart. She wasn't in church for many years, were you? Can I tell your story? It's okay. But Brother Floyd would go by and visit with the Sanders, and Miss Jessie and her mother would, they always looked out after the Sanders and kept an eye on Gilbert Marie Sanders. Many of y'all remember Gilbert Marie? Raise your hand. And Jessie and her mom lived right across the street. Brother Floyd was so faithful to go over there, but he'd come over to their house too and visit. And she said, we'd see that little man coming up to our door, and he'd bring us a bulletin from the church. Let us know what was going on. And he kept coming. And he didn't give up. And she's in church today because of the faithfulness of a man who was steady to just keep on. There's somebody in your life right now that you've given up on, maybe. If you would just begin to pray for them, what would it mean to them? What would it mean to your Christian life that you were to look at? Look at the joy. Floyd Pate, he died in the Lord, and he is rejoicing in the Lord. But to come to church and say, I've prayed for that person for a long time. Linda Gregory has that same testimony. He shared that with me. The person didn't give up on Linda Gregory. But to be able to come to church and say, I prayed for him, I prayed for her. I didn't tell a whole lot of people, but I prayed and I fasted. And I said, oh God, would you please touch their life and use me to do that? And to see them in church. I mean, to see your children that have gone astray to come back, that would be marvelous. But to anybody, just to be able to pray for them and say, there they are. They are in church. And it's not just church, but they are walking with Jesus. That's a blessing. You want to enrich our little humdrum lives that we live under the sun? You want to live life on a whole different level? You want to experience the power of God? Then just get back to the very simple things. Lord God, help us to get back to the very simple things that really make a difference for eternity. Will you join me in that commitment today to see God's power? Will you do that? Anybody? Father, God, we're just asking you to do something here. We've seen your hand at work. We don't deny that, Lord. We're not going to ignore what you have done. But we just want to see you do something greater. And we know, Lord, that you're able. So, Father, what is it in our lives? What is it in our lives, Lord, that need to be addressed? Lord God, what sin is there that's clogging up our spiritual arteries, that's preventing us, Lord, from seeing you move in that kind of way right here, today, in this moment, because we know you're able, Lord. Father, I pray for the church that we, the body of Christ, will wholly submit ourselves to you and commit to pray, commit to come before you in utter dependence. And even in the midst of what seems to be a despairing situation, that we will come before you and we will believe that you are going to do something on a God-sized level, because that's how you work. Increase our faith. I pray, Lord, that you'll give some a greater level of faith today, a greater clearance of faith today, that they'll walk in that. And that just the understanding and the discernment that they'll have and how to pray will be more effective. Teach us all, Lord. You said, teach us to pray. And because we have talked a lot to you, Lord, but we haven't always prayed. Lord, we've said things to you, Lord, as though you were beholden to us, as though you were obligated to us. We've given you a few commands, Lord, but God, we've not communicated with you as our Father in a relationship of conversation where we ask you to do what only you can do. Lord, we haven't done that. And so, Father, I pray that you'll take every household, that you will develop it into a household of faith, that we'll see people saved, others delivered, God set free. Lord, there are families who are dealing with children and grandchildren that are literally, Lord God, they are being held captive by a stronghold in their life. Drugs, Lord, alcohol, all kinds of strongholds that exist in their life, Lord God. And we're praying, Father, that there would be deliverance in those homes, in those lives, and that we will declare it in your church, and we will all rejoice together as the body of Christ, believing that you have done something marvelous, and your grace has been so ample to reach into the depth of one's sin and set them free. Lord God, thank you for that. We thank you in advance. We believe, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do in this place. We're going to trust you for that. Increase our faith. And Lord, when we struggle, help our unbelief. Help us, Lord. Lord, for those here today that they need to confess Jesus as their Savior, I pray today that they would. And that they will open up their heart for the Savior to come in. Save them. And then put them on a path, Lord, where they realize day by day how marvelous you are, how great you are. They'll see you in a way, Lord, they've never seen you before. From salvation, Lord, all the way till you take them home in glorification. We praise you now. We give you glory. God, use this invitation. Do what you want in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.